Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. In our concluding message of our current series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, we will wrap up our study of the Sermon on the Mount with Dr. John Neufeld with this message called An Invitation to Eternity. So let us turn to our text in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29.
In the next element of Jesus' story, he turns from the foundation of the house to the location in which the house is built. It turns out that the house of the wise and the foolish man is built in the same place. By reading the story, it becomes plain that these houses are built on a floodplain, and the houses are built in the dry season, or during that time in which all things seem to be ideal for building a house, with the prospect of a continuous, ongoing future that will always be the same as it is today. From that perspective, the way things currently are the way they will always be, and it would seem that the quality of the house and not the nature of the foundation is the most pressing issue. See, what I mean by that is that in today's world, wealth and fame and pleasure and fulfillment of your dreams, all these things seem more important than faith in Christ. Indeed, in the dry floodplain, the foundation seems to be no more than that of personal preference. But of course, we know from hearing this account that a storm is coming, and the houses will stand or fall depending on the foundation. You know, commentators are divided about what the flood represents. Some claim it's about the storms of life, and from that perspective, when tragedy strikes, a Christian is better equipped to handle difficult times because their life is built upon the foundation of Jesus. Now, it is true that if you find that you have cancer or that you've failed a crucial exam or your finances suffer severe loss, that if you know Romans 8:28, that God causes all these things to work together for our long-term eternal good, if you know those things, then you'll be able to handle tragedy well. See, I'm convinced that those who have faith are truly the toughest people on earth, for they can take devastating loss and still rise again. For they know that their God takes them through such things for His glory and their long-term eternal good. You're convinced that God has an eternal plan for you. Now, as hopeful as such a message is, this, however, is not what Jesus was speaking about at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus spoke about a storm, rains, and a flood that beat upon a house, the context of his sermon tells us what he's talking about. From the context, we learn that Jesus is speaking about Judgment Day. And so the storm represents the day when every human being is judged before God. It is the storm of God's fury when he, the creator of all things, demands his creation give an account of their lives. The life built upon a rock is obedience to Jesus that comes from faith. It means that we have enough faith in Jesus so that we accept his teachings. It means from this sermon that I trust him enough to direct my sexual morality, forgive my enemies, a commitment to truth-telling, a generosity in giving, a dedication to prayer. And in the end, it means to surrender to him. Live in this way. Let the Savior guide you. And then when the storms of the great end times judgment comes, you will stand. There is a part of the image that Jesus paints that really intrigues me. Both houses not only look relatively secure, but both are built in the same place, on what seems to be a kind of a floodplain, a place where it is dry time, and life seems to carry on as it always has. What I see from this is a parable of our lives. Most of us make decisions in life on the basis of what we presently see. We decide on what's good or bad by what our parents have taught us or what our culture teaches us or what we personally would choose. It's never occurred to many that there is a divine judgment coming, that the values of our culture are not what matters, but the standards of the righteousness from the eternal God is what awaits all of us. And that judgment is so severe, it sweeps lives and entire cultures away in the force of its fury. Think of the world before the flood of Noah, or think of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. All of life is built on this floodplain. To be human is to be a son or a daughter of Adam, in which the sun is shining, but the day of the storm looms overhead. We're all living in the shadow of the judgment. So what is wisdom? If you want to live well, live in such a way that your greatest consideration is not the present, but the permanent. Do not make a better life for yourself here, but bank everything that you have on eternity. Trust Jesus enough that what he says about eternity is really true. Of course, as the New Testament develops, we see clearly that in order to enter into Christ's kingdom, our sins must be judged. A righteous God will not overlook any sin, and the wages of all sin is death. But here we read of Christ's death on our behalf, and that is the good news. You know, in the days of the pioneers who lived in the Canadian prairies or in the great American plains, they often lived in places in which the grasslands were as high or higher than a human being. During the hot summer, the grass would become dry, and then one would have these prairie fires. Often driven by very high winds, such fires would move very quickly and would often be fatal, simply overrunning people and animals and burning them to death. So what would people do to protect themselves? Well, when people saw that the prairie fire was coming, they knew that they couldn't outrun it. Indeed, no horse could outrun it. So they took a match and they made their own fire. And they would burn a great large circular swath, a large area around them. And then they took their stand in the burnt-out area. You know, as the roar of the fire approached, they stood their ground. Because the fire had already passed in that place where they stood, it would not burn there again. That's another picture of wisdom. 2,000 years ago, the fire of God, or the great final end-time judgment of God, fell upon the cross of Jesus. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, and God's great wrath was satisfied in the cross. Now, take your stand in that place where wrath has already once burned. Stand in the place of the cross, trust in Christ, take his yoke upon you, learn from him, take up his cross, and when wrath falls in the final day, you will stand in the place that has once burned with wrath, but will do so no more. Build your house on the rock. Build your life and your dreams and your hopes for the future on the cross and on the life that the cross entails. Enter into the kingdom of heaven and you will be safe. You know, consider the alternative. The foolish man, says Jesus, built his house on the sand. He heard the words of Jesus, but did not act on them. Jesus came to him and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But as the foolish man looked about, he saw a dry floodplain and saw no value in the teaching of Jesus at all. He made no preparation for the day that he either did not believe would come or he gave no attention. And for him or her, the project of a lifetime, the dreams, the accomplishments, the failures, and the things that were enjoyed and appreciated will be swept away. See, I notice that Jesus makes no mention of those who have never heard. That's not because those who have never heard get a pass, for they don't. The wages of sin are death, whether we've heard of Christ or not. But this point in the sermon is not directed at the fate of those who have never heard. The issue doesn't even come up in the sermon. His point is that you ought not to hear the message and turn away. You ought to consider that if you do, in eternal ages from now, you will weep and mourn that such an offer as this has been made to you, and the utter folly of not paying heed. See, the truth is, this is the day of salvation. One ought to pay heed to the King, for he really is the King, and his kingdom really is at hand. In amazing kindness, he is making an opportunity to repent and to turn to him. Do not build your life on any foundation but him, for in the end, all other foundations will collapse. As the hymn writer has said, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time." All other lives fall into ruin. All other lives collapse beneath the weight of divine judgment, but that one exception is him. How about you? Would you waste such a precious invitation to come to him and live? Of course, in the end of Jesus' sermon, rather than making an invitation, does what many of us would assume should not be done. Instead of appealing to our desires, he warns of impending disaster. In a very real way, Jesus does both. Many times we hear him saying, "Great will be your reward in heaven." And as he says in Matthew 25, verse 34, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." But now he says, "Flee the coming day of wrath," to the only place where safety is to be found. And then the sermon is over, and all that is left is the response of the people. And I end simply by reading verses 28 to 29. "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd was astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Lord Jesus, take my life. I give it to you. It's yours. Amen."
Astonishment. I think that's a fitting word to describe people's reaction to Jesus' sermon, not only for what he said, but how he said it. In this final message of the greatest sermon ever preached, we have discovered the full meaning of Christ's words about building our life upon the rock of faith. I hope that this entire series has been a blessing and challenged you. We pray these teachings of Jesus would both shape and impact our thinking and behavior as we live out our calling as citizens of His kingdom. Join us again as Dr. Neufeld begins a new series called The Mysteries of the Cross. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God.
We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine Confident Living, and a way to support the ministry of Back to the Bible. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.